Okay, good evening, everybody. It's 6:30, and very, thank you very much for coming to this overview scrutiny group on Monday, the 10th of September. I first of all bring to everybody's attention that this meeting will be recorded and sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, please be advised that under the Openness of Local Government, Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, other people may film, record, tweet or block from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Services officers who are administering the meeting. Thank you very much. Item one, we have apologies, and we have apologies from John Sutherington. That's all. And the minutes of the previous meeting. I've read the meeting minutes and couldn't find anything to which I would object. Does anybody else have any objections to the meeting of the previous? I'll sign those as a true copy. Disclosure of per pecuniary and personal interest. Does anybody in the to declare?
No, Chair.
No? And declarations of the party whip. Anybody under what the whip?
No.
No. Okay. And then we have questions under scrutiny committee. There are no questions were submitted. So we have two items on the agenda. The first is the environmental services contract, the extension thereof. We outsource our environmental services, waste collection and recycling, and so our contracted out to Serco. They have served us quite well for the past, good number of years. That contract has come to the end, and it comes to the end of the extension of it comes to the end in 2020, and we have to decide there where we go. Do we recontract with Serco, and there are good arguments for that, or do we go out to the market something new? Matthew, do you want to say anything to say?
Councillor Harper-Davies.
Okay, you're going to
Councillor Cape, thank you. Hi, everybody. I think Councillor Cape had stolen what I was going to say. and in the essence of keeping the evening on meetings concise, then exactly what John said, we're looking at the options available to us now with view to the changes or any possible changes in the contract. To say Tom and I have been part of a member project board along the journey of what we're asking Cabinet to consider, what are our options, and you can see, I think the executive summary sums the procedures up very succinctly, and I hope you think the report is a good one, because certainly it's been a very thorough process throughout the time we've been looking at it. So
if I could, Chair, take a couple of minutes just to outline the contents of the report for you. So, as you quite rightly said, our current contract is with Serco for environmental services, and that includes our waste recycling and street cleansing services primarily. The current contract expires in June 2020, and we have an option to extend to 2024. At the moment, the contract's provided, and the vehicles that we use to service that contract have been fully depreciated. It means that we've got a bit of a period where we're not paying for the vehicles, because we've already paid for them, and they still have some life left in them, basically. So we're in quite a privileged position at the moment. But for the after June 2020, those vehicles will need replacing, and that's been one of the key considerations that myself and the project board have been looking at. We needed to bring this report at this point in time because the procurement of a new contract, if that's what we chose to do, does take a very long time, and the lead-in for new vehicles is about 9 or 10 months, which is why we're bringing this report at this particular time. And as part of the report, we looked at whether we should procure for a new contract, extend the current contract to 2024, And we did have a look at other options such as insourcing or local authority training companies and took some external advice on that. One of the key issues that we've considered with the project board is how we source the new fleet that's required, so whether we require the contractor, whether through the extension or a procurement exercise, whether we allow them to buy the vehicles or whether we should buy those vehicles ourselves and lease them to the provider going forward, or indeed lease them from a third party. So there's three options that we've considered for the fleet. As part of the information gathering that we used to make the recommendation, we had independent consultants reports commissioned to look at the value for money for the contract and the performance, the customer satisfaction, and that presented the current contract in a good light. We took Treasury advice on fleet purchasing options around the fleet and how we would best finance that going forward. Some of the things that I highlighted was around the fleet, that there was potential savings for us if we purchased the fleet ourselves and leased that to the contractor. And there were also advantages for business continuity. So if we owned the fleet and there was some service disruption with the supplier, we would be able to continue to provide that service because we owned the fleet and that would be available to us. One of the things that we considered as a project board was future opportunities as well, and whether the timing of the extension or procurement, what opportunities existed. And we felt that there were greater opportunities for contract rationalisation in 2024, so we could join contracts together internally to make a bigger contract and realise efficiencies, or we could talk to other authorities in the county who have contracts expiring at that time, and we could look to do joint procurement or further joint working with those authorities. So we considered that those opportunities existed later on, really. So as a project board, we discussed all the options available to us, and the recommendations that we're making to Cabinet are that we would like to extend the contract with Serco to 2024, and that we would like to purchase the fleet and lease that to the contractor using a blended borrowing mechanism, which is partly taking money from reserves and partly borrowing money from the Public Works Loan Board, and that seemed to have the correct balance between risk and good financial management, really. That's the recommendations that we'd like to make on Thursday. I think that's it. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Yes, you've answered a question that's going through my mind then. Is it sort of joint funding, funds come from internal and from borrowing. This is, I think, a very good move. We borrow from our reserves. Excellent, yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, any comments?
That was a question I was asking as well, but he has actually answered the question.
Yes.
Option four.
Yeah. Just like we should work out where we're going to get the money from.
A question to get through the chair, if I could ask you a question, Matt. With reference to the fleet, obviously we're going to be hopefully procuring the fleet for Jarwood. Are we happy where we are in terms of the manufacturer, the lead times, cost, savings, service agreements, all those levels? Are we trying to capture all that in, within that procurement environment?
So with the procurement of the vehicles, we'll follow our normal procurement processes to procure the vehicles, and we'll have a detailed specification for each of the vehicles that we want to procure. So there'll be refuse collection vehicles, there'll be street sweepers, and there'll be small vans as well. So it's quite a range of vehicles there that we'll be looking to purchase, and we'll take the appropriate guidance on that. Each of those vehicles will be leased to the provider, and if the contract is extended, it will be Serco, and in that lease it's very detailed about service intervals the condition in which the vehicles are to be kept. When they're handed back to us at the end of the contract, because the vehicles will still have quite a lot of life left at the end of the 4 years, so details down to the depth of the tread on the tyres and everything will be covered in that. So I'm quite confident that we've got that all covered and we're able to do that.
Can I just help through the chair just to like put some meat on the bones as well. Plus the lorries, I mean, the lorries obviously have a life of around about 8 years.
Yeah.
And some of the lorries, if you've seen them yourself, they're looking a bit tatty, aren't they? And obviously they do wear and tear, but currently they're serviced monthly and looked at monthly, aren't they?
Yes.
So you know, I think that what will happen is they'll the current contract, the motor lorries will transist over to the new fleet subject to it be approved, and we buy our own fleet, and the newer lorries will have modifications on and make them more effective in what we do, different turning circles, and just make them better at what they do because they're a newer fleet.
Emissions, etc.
The vehicles will have the latest, up to the latest emissions standards.
Yeah. Safety.
The refuse collection vehicles will be 32 tonnes vehicle weight rather than 26, and that's to allow for the growth of the area that we're expecting over the next 10 years. So each vehicle will have additional capacity. There'll be rear wheel steer, so the turning circles are much tighter, as Councillor Harper Davis has said. So I think we'll specify.
Okay. Again, through the chair, I'd just like to thank Matthew and Councillor for their answers. I think it's a very good in-depth work that you guys have done, and thank you very much.
That's very exciting.
Matthew, you have a very good summary of that. Was a technical term which I didn't understand. You're talking about existing 6x4 vehicles as opposed to new 8x4 vehicles.
Yes. Yeah. 6x4 are 26 ton vehicles, and that is the majority of the fleet at the moment. We do have some 8x4 vehicles, but most of it's 6x4. We'll be moving to 8x4, which is 32 tonnes, and we'll have that extra capacity to allow for housing growth in the area and enable us to operate efficiently going forward whilst accommodating that housing growth.
What's the meaning of the 6x4 or the 8x4?
They're the number of wheels that the vehicle
has. So 8x4 gives us 32, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's six sets of four wheels.
Oh, sorry.
The drop up and down. Yeah. Am I right? Yes, some drops and some goes up.
Yes, some of the wheels do drop down.
Yes.
It relates to the number of wheels,
but it's
the gross vehicle weight that I usually use, and the difference, the main difference is 26 tonnes and 32 tonnes.
The other thing that I must say, I did a couple of things I liked in this report. One, the idea that Serco will be responsible for the maintenance of the fleet.
Yes, will continue to do what they do at the moment.
Yes, absolves us from that responsibility.
I think the fact that we've extended the life of the existing fleet is testament to the good maintenance that Serco do on the vehicles at the moment, actually. So we'll look forward to that continuing going forward.
And just as I jumped out as well, they not only do they become an asset as the fleet itself, but it gives us the opportunity to do marketing within that fleet, you know, to advertise. It just gives us a further opportunity, a business opportunity, a commercial opportunity that Sean can maximise.
Obviously at the end of the sell-on cost.
Yes, I mean, the report details the depreciation period of 8 years. It may well be we assess the condition of the vehicles at the end of that 8 years and they can run an extended life beyond that, but we'll have depreciated them again and fully paid for them and have that window, if you like, of reduced costs for a couple of years. At the end of that time, they're not worth a lot of money, to be perfectly honest. So we haven't factored in any residual values at the end of the depreciation period. We may well get a small return, but we haven't allowed for that in our financial calculations.
Good, thank you. Anybody here?
Just playing devil's advocate, what would be the alternative if we didn't extend this contract?
If If we didn't extend the contract,
yeah,
we would go to the market and do a full procurement, where we'd go through the procurement exercise, invite bidders to bid for the contract, we'd assess those bids and award the contract to another provider. I think we'd still have to make the same decisions with the fleet, whether we procured ourselves or required the provider to supply those as part of the contract. Our work has highlighted that there are significant savings to be made by through the council purchasing the fleet, so that applies to our existing contractor or anybody else coming in at a particular time. But we would start the procurement process if we next day.
And other than saving money and value, is there anything else that anybody else could offer that Serco can't? Or is it purely just cost?
It's, I think there's quite an established market there. I think Serco performs well in the marketplace. Yeah. We've got high levels of satisfaction, a lot of compliments. So the risk is that you move to a different provider if you go to a procurement, and you could potentially put that at risk. So it's a bit of an unknown, if I'm honest.
Because
in the marketplace, there's a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace at the moment, because obviously at the moment there isn't the opportunity to work in partnership with any of our other colleagues in councils, because in the marketplace is because of obviously Brexit, it's an uncertain place. So at the minute what we feel is Serco doing a great job, customer satisfaction is very good. Why would we really want to change? I appreciate what your comment, you know, sort of appreciate the comment, but why would we want to really fix something that isn't broken?
And in either case, we do have to re-tender at the end of that process, because procurement rules, whether we're in Europe or not, tells us that we have to, once the contract has reached the end of its extension period, we will need to procure. So just to give the assurance to members, that procurement process will have to happen. It's whether we stave off the day or do it now. And it's the added benefit.
We have to do it, don't we? It's mandatory.
Brilliant, thank you.
Thank you. I think reading this report from Eunomia, benchmark report, I must say it's truly excellent. It really is. And look, reading all the graphs and the charts and that, Charnwood comes out, you know, above average for performance and below cost for performance in just about every one, indeed. It's only the street cleaning that we're a little bit iffy on, but we'll gloss over that one. So I think we should, a colleague's agreement, I think we should recommend that we accept the proposals and we'll recommend the cabinet accept the proposals.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Good
night. Good night. Bye.
Thank you.
Do you want to move
down? Are you right
there? You stay well away from me.
Second item on our agenda is the proposal that we participate in this pilot scheme to pay 75% of business rates in exchange for foregoing many of the government, much of the government funding that we get.
Chair, so this is a pilot scheme. Before 2013, we paid all the business rates over to the government. Since then, we now retain 50%, and the retaining 50%, in reality, Child retains 9% and gets about £4 million worth of funding out of it. The rest is paid over to the city, not to the city, to the County Fire Police Authority. We in Leicestershire have a pooling arrangement at the moment where we retain 50% of the business rate. This is to go into a pilot to retain 75% of the business rates. The benefit to us is that there are no guarantees, because the level of collection of business rates varies, but we are in a pool with Leicester City and all the Leicestershire councils, and it's worked well for us so far. We have until the 28th of September to submit a bid to be included in the 75% business retention scenario. If we were successful, we would get an extra, as long as the business rate collection levels were as we predict, we'd get an extra 13 million in Leicestershire, including Leicester City. We forego a number of benefits by applying for it. One of them is we lose various grants. The government has guaranteed that we will get at least 95% of what we would normally, our baseline funding. So, we have until the 28th of September to apply for it. You'll remember that last time we applied for 100% business rate retention, there was 24 councils applying for it, 10 were successful. We weren't one of them. So, we're having another go. So, in a nutshell, why wouldn't we do it? If we're going to get another 13.8 million in Leicestershire, I'm not saying in Charnwood, but in Leicestershire, Leicester City and Leicester County Council, we might as well have a go and try and get it. There is a downside to it. The collection levels could vary. The amount we get depends on what the collection levels are. We're in a business rates pool already, so we've got experience of it. And it's worked well for us so far. At the moment, in the existing pool, not this 75% pool, we have money which we retain, which we would otherwise have to pay out to the government. And that goes into the Leicester and Leicestershire Enterprise Partnership and is spent in the county. That in a nutshell is what we're asked to consider today, whether we will apply for the 75% retention of business rates, which could give us a benefit of another 13.8 million within the county and city, so in the geographical area, which makes sense to me. I'll ask Simon to go into the more technical details, Simon.
I think Councillor Barton's explained that pretty well, actually, as an introduction. The explanations go from the sort of quite simplistic to the unfortunately rather technical very quickly, but there's no sort of middle ground where it would sort of help with context really with this particular topic. But I think clearly, if you've got any questions between the second council party, hopefully we'll be able to answer.
Did you say we'd lose some other funding, or did I not?
We will. That? They will not pay us the revenue support grant, and as I understand it, they're guaranteed us. They will give us at least 95% of our baseline funding, and if we get the normal collection rates that we anticipate, we will be better off than we are under the existing scheme. But in the previous scheme, they guaranteed we'd be no worse off. But this way, they have guaranteed us 95% of the funding as an area, and the 5% around it amounts to about the potential loss would be 10 million, but it's very unlikely we do that would happen. But that is, you know, if you want to know the straight answer, that is what the potential loss across the county, and our loss would be something in the region of 63,000. So we're not looking to go into something that's going to lose us. We're looking to go into it on the basis that we will win. A note of caution, just remember that we are not guaranteed to get accepted into this scheme. So even if we submit the bid, we may not be successful. We were not successful at the time. So we're back in square one, if not. But we're throwing a hat into the circle on the basis that we'll get potentially 13 million more in the area.
I think we should.
Sorry.
Did they give you a reason why they rejected last year? In other words, something.
No, they didn't. No, because that's exactly what I asked. I thought we'd get some. You can draw your own conclusions, but the more successful councils were those in Surrey and Sussex and down there who happened to have cabinet ministers as their MPs. But I wouldn't draw any conclusions from that at all. But that could give you some indication of why.
Well, I think we should actually try again.
Yeah, I think so.
Exactly what I was just about to ask. Would, if we place the bid, if we put in for the bid and we don't get it, what are the cost implications of that?
Nothing. We're just back to where we were before. We're on a 50% business rate retention, which has worked well for us. The real upside on this is the potential to have an extra 13 million in the area. Now, how that's divvied out between the various districts and everything else is something that's up for negotiation. All right, but that's not you know, looking at it from a sort of a practical point of view, 13 million in the region is better than not having any in the region. So, in other words, if you've got the chance of getting it, why wouldn't you do it?
Implies in the paper here that each local authority would initially be funded to a level equivalent of the retained business rates grants receivable had they not been participants. Now that sort of, I would confer from that that we are going to get out of this pool equivalent to what we would have got had we not entered it.
We are, if the collection rates are at a reasonable level.
So we are actually in a pooled arrangement at the moment. So actually some of the risks and the issues within this scheme actually exist with the existing pooling arrangements. And the rules are that, so collectively, and Treasurers have done quite a lot of modelling, so collectively we believe that we should have a gain across Leicestershire of 13.8 million. And that's the basis of that is the government essentially sets baselines of what we should be collecting, but based on our returns that we all have to do to the Ministry of the MH, the Ministry of Housing, the Communities and Local Government, we're actually all projecting that our actual business rates collections will be above this baseline level, which is why it works. But some local authorities can have good years or bad years, so what the rules are, if we would have had a particularly bad year, then we would have actually received less than our target amount. But the rules of the pool and the rules of this prospective pilot would be that we would get exactly that amount as a sort of baseline tranche of funding from this arrangement. That's exactly how it works with the pool. And if we were to do better than that, then we would get the amount we would have got had we not been in the pool also. And in the rules we have here, the LEP also gets funded, or it has funds made available from the business rate pool. So what this our pilot bid will do is actually protect that income as well. So basically everything, the basis of the bid is that everything is maintained as far as possible in the same arrangements we've got now, so everyone gets the same funding as they would have got now. And then on top of that, there's this what we would envisage or estimate to be an additional 13.8 million. And as Councillor Barclay said, then that's an additional sort of icing on top of our particular cake. So there's a net gain of 13.8 million over the top of all of this. So that's how it works. There is some risk. We have modelled it. The risks are A, small, and B, the risk to Charnwood is A, tens of thousands. It's not an existential amount that would create huge problems for us.
From memory, it's about 63,000 if it all went pear shaped.
Yeah,
we're not looking for that.
Anyone, any more comments?
No.
Well, thanks very much. Good luck. My colleagues agree. I think we should recommend that the Cabinet accepts these recommendations. Seems local government finance is going to change from 2020. We were keen to dip our toes into water with 100% and get some exposure for it, plus any money that's coming to us. And I think we should accept the 75% scheme with as much enthusiasm. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's that on that one?
Still 72. You might
bother that question. Okay. This is the item 7, the overview scrutiny group previous.
Page 72.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Page 72.
Page 72.
Yeah, please,
this is just the report from what happened at Cabinet Chair. So you looked at two items, I think, last time.
Yeah.
One was the safety and security of the site, the various open spaces, and that was the proposal to spend, I think, £50,000 on improving that security. And the second was the model of local government in Leicestershire. And what this report does is just report back that Cabinet received both those reports and your comments on them, and they approved the recommendations in those two reports, and you supported that.
That's right.
Okay. So, since your
work program,
page 76. The current work programme is actually on page 77.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can see there the items that are scheduled to come to the October meeting.
Yes, we haven't got a meeting until 15th of October now.
Yeah. So you've got the responses from the items you looked at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This evening.
Yes.
You'll have another version of your work programme, and then any items from the Cabinet agenda for October that you decide to look at. But you already have the future cemetery provision for Loughborough.
We do, yes.
It's already been identified.
Mm-hmm.
And also the provision of the revenues and benefits service, which is another contract that the council is going to have to decide what to do about. So you've got those two already scheduled.
Okay.
And then the next items you've actually got scheduled are next year, Chair.
Next year.
So also attached on page, I think it's page 80 and onwards.
Yeah.
There are the key decisions that have been published. So you can see the first one on there is the cemetery that you've already scheduled. The second one, the light bulb service, I don't believe that will now go to Cabinet in October, because that is subject to some appraisal that's been done across all the partners, and that's not completed yet. The third one you have in your work programme, the revs and bens options. But then you'll see also in October there is the strategic growth plan. So that's the other key decision in October.
Yes, okay.
You might want to look at, obviously when you see the full agenda there'll be other decisions that aren't key decisions. So that's the only one that I think you might want to.
So that would give us three, the cemetery and the
future option. That strategic growth plan you've Cabinet have seen it in draft form.
Yeah, OSG saw it in draft as well.
Which will have been?
That's the growth plan. Mm.
Yes, I think that was in February or March from memory, something like that.
Sounds
about 6 months ago. So this is the final version now. And then going forward from there in November is the medium-term financial strategy. That will be the final version, I think, which was on its way to council in January. The next round of Charnwood grants, and then in the run-up to Christmas you've got the budget and the capital plan and the procurement plan amendments, so the full budget. But of course the first of those, top of page 82, the draft general fund and HRA budgets, that will have been through the budget scrutiny panel. And the capital plan amendment report and amendments to the procurement plan, they are regular quarterly reports. So that takes you all the way to the end of this year, Chair.
Good. These ones we've been talking about for December, do we have to decide now?
No, we can decide next time.
The latest you can decide is when the Cabinet agenda is published,
okay.
Which obviously will be in week one of December.
So now we're just talking about the October one at the moment.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, even that, there you can still decide when the October agenda is published in about 3 weeks' time. If there is anything on that agenda you want to look at, you can make that decision then.
Okay, that's excellent.
Did you want the growth plan adding on for next time? Would you want to wait and see?
We'll wait and see.
Okay.
Another small item before we close. The 13th of December I won't be here. Councillor Ransom will take over from me for that meeting.
Thank you.
There you go.
I should be back. Yeah, I'll get back.
You'll be back, Andy?
Yeah, I'll be back. As Ollie says.
Where are you going?
Back to Tannery, so some business over there. So,
all right.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it. Nice.